Hey, what's up, Buffalo Nation? We back, and guess what? We got something special for you guys today. We got our newest bag, the Buffalo Savior. This bag is incredible. It's for players that like the roll, like the cut. Hey, this bag's for you.
The Savior is going to be similar to our Fallouts. It has the same herringbone. It has a slower fast side. So the speed of the bag is going to be an 8 on the fast side, and it's going to be a 5 on the slow side.
This bag will be available in mixed fill, in a light version and a regular version.
Hey, what's good? Welcome back, Buffalo Nation, to another episode of Off the Board. Today, we are thrilled to introduce a remarkable talent in the world of cornhole, Tony Smith.
You are now in the presence of a...
Tony's rising cornhole scene has been nothing short of phenomenal, showcasing skill, strategy, and a dedication that's captivated fans and players alike.
And then can he clean it up for a big push? He can! What a clinical by Tony Smith!
His knack for clutch plays and strategic thinking makes him a standout in the sport.
Look at this roll shot by Tony Smith going over everything.
So without further ado, help us welcome the one, the only, Tony Smith. Tony, what's up, man?
Yeah, not much. Chill.
We appreciate you taking time for us, man. Like I said, we're going to hop in. And, man, I'm going to start out, you know, with a banger. You know what I want to know. So, man, you and Jacob, y'all had a phenomenal year together. What prompted the decision to go in a different direction?
So it didn't have anything to do with like how we finished at all last year or that we didn't do as good as we wanted to. It had nothing to do with that. It was a lot to do with sponsors. Sponsors was big for me this year. I'm trying to take that load off my back of if I don't win this, I'm not eating.
Right.
And this was one way to do it, along with I feel like Mark is going to be an extremely good mentor for me. And he has like a, he's just always calm. And I'm trying to like model myself after that, and I feel like playing with him will help me with that, along with just he's a dope dude. So that's really the basis of it.
All right, Tony, yeah, you mentioned Mark Richards. I'm sure everybody was excited on that. Was that something that y'all talked about it before or just kind of happened shorthanded? Or as you mentioned, we were talking to AJ, as far as that, what sponsors was a big deal on y'all teaming up?
It happened really fast. Like, it was like the last day of Worlds. I remember Mike Hennessy saying something about me and Mark like months prior. And I was just like curious. And I was like, what would you do to make this happen? Yeah. And then we talked to Mark a little bit and back and forth. And this happened in like 2 days. And the rest was just, that was just it. We were partners.
You mentioned him being a mentor to you. Do you find yourself, the few tournaments that y'all played, did you ever find yourself kind of nervous knowing that you were playing with arguably one of the best players in the game right now?
Yeah, absolutely. First two and a half tournaments, it was not me just playing. It was more like, I can't miss. I got Mark on the other end. I can't miss. And then after I got over that, we're chilling now. So I'm just playing my game.
Playing game, having fun.
Hey, man, that's crazy because you guys literally, what most people would consider in cornhole, broke the internet. Because I think at the time when y'all decided, like, it was number one player and the number two player are coming together. And the idea behind that is, like, who's going to stop these guys? Like, I had my own personal list. I felt like out of the top three doubles, I mean, just talking about doubles, best doubles players in cornhole to me, and that's my on my list, was you, Mark, and KB as the three best doubles players, like, straight up. And we already saw what KB and Eddie was able to do. You know, you were in a bunch of those matches with them. Yep. You know, so did you automatically, like, in your head think, man, if I can get with this guy, I mean, what would y'all be able to do? What were you thinking whenever that came up?
It, like I said, like, this happened so fast. Like, I didn't even have time really to think about it all. Like, up until the end of Worlds, I had zero doubt in my mind that it was going to be me and Jacob next season.
Mm-hmm.
Until that figure came in. That came into play. Contraband is still a new company, or was at the time. So I wasn't seeing what I'd like to. So it just... all around, or not all around, but it was just like the better move for me at the time. So there was really no thoughts of playing with other people up until then.
Nice. Awesome. So your win at the pro shootout number 3 in Miami was one of many of your defining moments. Can you take us through that experience and what it meant to you?
You know, going into that shootout, like, first match of the day, I had zero doubt in my mind that I was not going to win more than 3 games. I swear, because I just, the day before is when I switched over to a faster bag, and those boards there were quick, so I was super uncomfortable the whole time. And then going into the shootout, I didn't have like a sticky bag that I wanted to throw. So I just threw the fast bags and somehow scooted by each game and ended up getting to Jimmy in the finals. Now, I was not happy whatsoever about having to go to Miami for just the finals instead of playing it in South Dakota.
Right.
But ended up pulling it out, and it felt good. I felt like I got a chip off my shoulder and then went right back to getting second place the whole rest of the year.
Oh, man. That's crazy, man. So, man, I've been knowing you for a long time, man. Even before you made it pro.
I was a good qualifier.
Like, you, yeah. You know, your cousin Garrett, man, that was one of my boys, you know what I'm saying, I used to hang out with, man, and I used to talk to Derek all the time. I don't know, Derek's your uncle?
Yeah.
So Uncle Derek, man, and he always ran it and raved about, you know, you. Oh, man, Tony is a beast and he's a killer, you know. So, man, I watched your journey a long time, man. But I want to know for you, man, because you're a vet now, you know. Even though you've only been playing a few years, you're a vet, like, with what you've been able to do. Is there a particular match or a moment in your career that stands out as, like, your favorite or most memorable? I know you got a lot. Like, you've had a lot of success. Is there anything that stands out as your favorite?
It's probably got to be that national dub with Jacob against Mark and Phil. That was one of the craziest games I've ever seen, in doubles, at least. Other than that, I think maybe my first, like, pro singles tournament ever down in Myrtle Beach, I think, like, 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
They did a switch into singles, and I won that, and it was only pros in it, and so that was like my first considered pro tournament, I guess, and I won that, so that was cool. But other than that, there's too many to count.
That's a good problem, Dad.
Yeah, right. I like that flex, man. But we were sitting down. I think we were at the Airbnb watching that game, and some of us still that game against Mark. And you know, that was an incredible game, man. So yeah, you've had some, you know, incredible moments, man.
Tony, give us a little feedback on how do you prepare for a game? Like, what kind of strategies do you employ before going into a tournament? Or even just a match. I mean, depending on as far as if you're facing somebody that you know that's going to just as high as caliber as yourself.
I try to just turn off my brain, just go and throw for like before a tournament. I'll go try and go throw for at least like a half an hour before it starts. Otherwise, you know how it goes going in, just fresh out your bed. It's not good. Right. So try to warm up a little bit. But when I play, I try to not think as much as possible. I kind of already know how everybody in the league plays, their style and everything, unless they've switched recently. Then so I know where to put the bags like automatically against each opponent, unless it's like a open and I'm playing against somebody I don't know, then it's not sure what to do. Just kind of run them in. So each person I have like a different strategy for. It may not even be voluntary, but like I just recognize patterns of how like their bag cuts this way, it does this, blah blah blah. So I just kind of automatically know where to put the bag.
No, I respect it, man. Do your homework, man.
That's probably the first. And I will say this: out of listening to everybody talk, that's the first I probably ever heard that.
I've never heard that.
That's why he's Tony Smith.
Are there certain like practice routines that you do during practice?
I don't practice.
You don't practice at all?
No. I blind draws. I go to like 2 blind draws a week. That's my practice.
All right. Well, since you don't practice, like I said, who's somebody that's been your significant influence and inspired you in cornhole? And you mean how did they shape and approach to the game?
So, I mean, from the beginning, my parents have been playing this in the backyard since I was like 4 years old. So that really is where I started playing, was in a little backyard. And then eventually it was the Lugos and like Tornado and Lady Tornado.
Right.
They came to my dad's league and showed us the ACL. So then that whole next era started. And then, so the pro that I first started to look up to was Ken Schaaf, if you know who that is.
No, I know that. Is. Yeah.
Yep.
He's a man, goat.
That's a name you don't hear that often.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I remember Ken Schaaf for sure.
He was lit. And then, he's the first like pro I really talked to at like a national, I think in Mohegan. I talked to him for a bit and threw with him, and he tried to help me out. And then a couple of months go by, and I go down to Pennsylvania for a regional. Wax Harbaugh twice. Wax Harbaugh twice. And then he starts like inviting me out to these tournaments to play with him. And that's when I started just hitting the road, going all over the place, playing with people is with Harbaugh. So I feel like Harbaugh is really the one that got me into going and finding like the best competition. Going and finding all these big tournaments to play in. And now, right now, I'm looking up to my partner, Mark, because he's got undoubtedly the best mental game in the sport. Like, it's unreal. I'm just trying to get like that.
Yeah, it's crazy, man, because you've never seen him kind of show any emotions or anything or just kind of get flustered or anything during the game.
I saw one emotion one time, and I'm gonna tell you, it was it was this last year. He was playing against I want to say Powers and Ruben again, and they were playing him for a bracket. And like, he's normally calm and quiet, but this is after, you know, the comeback and all the chatter or whatever. And like, Jordan was like chirping or whatever in the beginning of the game. Well, you know, Mark was kind of calm.
Right.
So at the end of the game, Mark hits a shot to win the game. And, I mean, he lets out this belt, like, loud. Well, we were playing on the backside. we didn't know what it was because it sounded weird, right? Yeah. But yeah. You know, that was the first time like he let out some emotion kind of behind like what had happened the year before. So that was the only time I've ever seen him like make any kind of like noise. But you could tell in that moment it was personal. But any other match I've ever seen for him, it was just like he's been calm. He's been even in a defeat, right? Like, because I played him in singles at Rock Hill and mm-hmm. I ended up beating him and like calm and comes up to me. Hey, great shooting, man. Good, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, that was calm and cool, like, because I can't do that. After I lose, don't look at me.
Don't look at me. Don't talk to me.
Don't even look at me. You know what I'm saying? Well, come over. Hey, nice try, big fella. You know, that's something that, you know what I'm saying? Hey, don't look at me, bro. Like, Frank Modlin did that to me my very first loss in the National. Hey, you know, come back, get a little stronger, you know.
Come back
again. Come back. You know what I'm saying? Hey, come back again, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, but yeah, no, man, you're right. So getting a mental game from, you know, Mark, man, that's solid because he's had a pretty solid mental game.
Yeah, absolutely. And I lost my train of thought.
Man, do you know what he listens to? Because I know a couple people have asked me, like, do you know what he listens to? Because, I mean, he must be some calm music because... I mean, like you said, no matter what's defeat or victory, I mean, he has the same facial expression, no matter what.
Like music, what music he's listening to?
Yeah.
Whenever he gets, or I let them put on the music, it's usually like country.
Uh-huh.
Or some 2 Chainz.
Really?
He plays some 2 Chainz.
Come on, yeah, bro.
Man, I would have never guessed that, bro.
No, I
would
have guessed that. That's funny.
His music's all over the place. He don't listen to like new rap at all.
Oh, okay.
Which that's what I'm listening to.
Attention, all cornhole players out there. Do your bags get in the way of your perfect shot? Well, say no more.
We have the Buffalo Bag Butter. That's the game changer you've been waiting for. This secret potion will make your bags tournament ready in a single evening.
With just a dab along the seams, your bags will be prepped and primed for showtime.
Our all-natural formula ensures your bags get the treatment they deserve.
Hey, and for all you off-the-board fans out there, here's the winning shot. Use code SMITH at checkout for an exclusive 15% off just for you. That's S-M-I-T-H Smith for a special 15% discount on your Buffalo Bag Butter order.
Your path to victory shouldn't be blocked by stubborn bags.
Now slide over to victory and get your Buffalo Bag Butter today.
Now let's dive back into this episode with Tony Smith. Becoming an ACL pro, what were some of the biggest challenges and or triumphs along the way?
Challenges. Getting that first dub on Matt Guy. I just did it. I got it a regalia a couple of years ago, but I cannot beat that man. I can't do it.
That's always been your kryptonite.
Oh yeah, I don't know what it is. I'm throwing gas, and then I step up next to him, and it's just like I've never played a game before.
You mentioned earlier about knowing your opponents. I mean, all the several times you played Matt Guy, do you play him differently every time, or is it the same approach every time you play him?
I don't know what to do against him. This last time I just played him, I tried to out-airmail him.
Right.
It worked, which is weird. Wow. I just slide an airmail. That's all I did, and I got him somehow. Other than that, I always tried blocking him. Like, try to block him as close to the hole as possible.
Right.
So when he airmails, he drags me. But other than that, I don't know how to play him because he's just going backside every time.
Oh, yeah. And he's shooting it, too.
Yeah. No hesitation. He's shooting it. But triumphs is probably that national, getting that first national dub. And just honestly, any tournament win nowadays is it's a damn... it's a gauntlet every time.
Right.
So you got to just take them where you can. I'm proud of all of them.
That's awesome. Absolutely.
I'm sick of getting second, though. I can tell you that. It's coming. I'm about to go on a run somewhere soon.
Hey, that's solid, man. Hey, that's a good problem to have, the second place. I know it's made, you know, some people are comfortable, you know, where they are, but that's solid that you are unhappy with getting second. Some people just wish they can get second. You know what I'm saying? So that's solid, man.
How do you see the sport in cornhole evolving in the next few years, and what role do you hope to play in the growth in the popularity?
I'm praying it just keeps growing. I don't know. I feel like people are still just discovering us, so hoping it just keeps growing. A lot of the things I'm seeing on like Facebook, it's just like people do this for professionally. And then they're all like just a bunch of people hating on it. So I'm hoping that somehow it turns around. I'm there at the front, trying to promote it. Just trying to put as good of games on as I can. Because that's really all I can do, is just play good. Because I don't really have much of a social media presence, so I need to work on that. Like, you don't see me posting nothing. I really don't know.
And what advice would you give to the young players who aspire to become professionals in this sport?
School comes first. Absolutely. And you just gotta practice. Like, you gotta work, like, I don't want to say travel, because then that puts it on the parents, right?
Right.
But if you're not playing against the best players you can find, that you can find, you're not going to get better. Like, if you're not playing against people that are better than you. So wherever you're at, try to find like the best player in the area and play against them often.
That's sound advice. I mean, I agree. That's exactly how, you know, we ended up getting better the same way. So, so we know you, cornhole just isn't everything, right? I'm sitting there looking at you, got a gamer chair. So outside of cornhole, like, what are your passions or interests? And like, is there any of those passions outside of cornhole that help influence your approach to cornhole?
Golf. That's number one right there. When I play golf, I get so mad sometimes because, like, I have really high expectations in golf. So, like, the littlest thing will get me mad. So then I'm trying to model my mentality after Tiger's 10-step rule, which is let me look it up for you. So anytime Tiger will hit a bad shot, he'll give himself 10 steps after the shot to, like, show his emotions, like be mad at himself. But then once he crosses that line, it's game time again. So, like, I'm trying to work on that, not letting it just keep carrying over into, like, my next bag. Or next round, like a bad shot.
Right.
So,
can you really explain each step? Can you explain each step what it is?
No, like he walks 10 steps.
Oh, yeah, sexual steps.
Yeah, 10
oh,
steps. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, he'll hit his shot and walk literally, like he'll have like a red line. Like after 10 steps, his next shot is what he's worried about now, not what just happened.
So, in cornhole, would you relate that to? Because you're not going to take 10 steps unless it's singles, right? Then you'll take 10 steps. But in doubles, like, would you take 10 seconds? And or would you
how would you do that? I feel like it's more like when they let go of their bag, then it's like, all right, that's the moment. Now what do I gotta do?
Yeah. Gotcha. That's good. I'm gonna use that.
I know. I was thinking that too. 10 steps, yeah. Just bag for bag.
It's good, man. It's good stuff.
So looking forward, what do you hope to achieve in your cornhole career And what do you expect from yourself?
The expectations are too high. They're too high. So I want a singles dub. I can tell you that. What was the other half of that?
What expectations you have of yourself to achieve this year and in the future?
I want a singles dub, nationals, and a world championship too. Doubles or singles or both. I'm trying to get it all. Not everything back to back to back, obviously. That's never going to happen. I'm trying to get each of them before I am done with this.
And that's the legacy that you want to leave. Let everybody know, like, Tony Smith made this mark.
Yeah.
All right. So, what in cornhole right now, who is your number one supporter? Like, the person that you know that if something goes good, bad, or indifferent, they're always going to have your back. They're always going to be right there, you know, watching you or, you know, supporting you. If you had to pick one, your number one supporter in cornhole or just in life, who you got?
Damn, that's a tough one. In cornhole, like there in cornhole, Hunter Thorne. Outside that, my parents. Just family. They're all huge supporters because all of them play too. So like you already know, we got Garrett and DK. But yeah, all of them are huge supporters in this.
So those are guys that you play with, like you mentioned to the blind draws. So what are the top pros at your local blind draws? Because I believe you're from Jimmy Humans, right? Are you and Jimmy close by? No?
He's 4 hours or so.
Oh, okay. I've seen y'all play a couple regionals, so I figured you're a little closer than that.
I'm the only pro in Connecticut.
Oh, wow.
And I don't believe there's one in Rhode Island.
Is Tornado a pro still? Where is he?
Where's he at?
He's in Worcester. He's 30 minutes from me, but he's not a pro anymore.
Oh, okay.
Jacob, I believe, is the closest pro to me. And he's an hour and 30 minutes. So I gotta travel a decent bit for nearby competition.
Right.
Or like pro level competition. Cause there's still good local players around here. But
everybody knows there's levels to it, man.
All
right. So, man, I wanna ask you this question. You saying that, you know, cornhole is your dream and being a singles champion and all of this stuff. And I know you're happy. You've talked about, you know, what ACL has done and for you to be what you want to be. If you could change one thing, it could be whatever you want. If you could change one thing about either cornhole, how it goes or how it's going, or if you could change one thing about cornhole, what would you do? Like, it could be the business side. It could be whatever. Like, if you could change one thing about how the game is played right now, what would you change?
I hate them slick and slicker bags. I hate them things. It would something to do with that. Like, you gotta have like a somewhat slow side. You can't just have fast game changer slick, viper slick. Like, come on. Right.
Yeah.
And there's people abusing that in the pros.
Do you feel like that says anything about, because I know there's where I come from, man, if you throw fast bags, they feel like you're just not elite. Like, that's the opinion. How do you feel about that?
I'm right there with you. You don't gotta throw it flat for it to go in the hole. And that's where I just can't watch it. I can't. If I'm playing against somebody and their bag's looking like this, I won't hit the board. If it's going like that and it's going in the hole, it's awful. It just aggravates me.
I'm not going to lie. When we played against each other at Bag and Mania, I looked at his facial expression every time I threw, and he had that look like, dude, you got an ugly bag, and I don't know how that's going in the hole.
He's like, who's that guy? Yeah. I beat you? Oh, you're one of the ones I beat, too?
He beat me, like, we played against each other, like, 3 or 4 times at Bagmania.
This last one?
Yeah. See, he doesn't even remember.
Take your hat off. Yeah. Take your hat off.
Yeah, very good to you.
When you played with Asher, Lil Asher.
Oh, you're talking about blind.
And the blind?
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, I destroyed you, bro.
Yeah.
Hey, cool, man. Hey, look. Hey, Big Tone, man, we appreciate you taking time coming through and gracing our podcast. You know what I'm saying? But what we like to do with all of our guests when we let them leave is just give a shout-out to the people that believe in you. If you had to let them know one thing that you wanted your supporters to know or the people that you appreciate, if you had a message to leave them with, what would it be?
Thank you. Not much more. I'm working. I appreciate all the support. That's, I don't really got much.
Solid, man. Hey, well, we appreciate it, man. Thank you for coming on our show. And again, this is Tony Smith, Buffalo Nation. We out. Peace.
Thanks, Tony.
Thank you for having me.
I appreciate it, Tony, man. Thanks a lot.